Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We are back. And darn proud of it, too. 34 after the hour. I'm glad you're here. It makes it a lot more fun when you're here. We got somebody I want you to talk to for a minute here. Rich Salmon is our good friend and a member of our Brain Trust. He's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. He's joins us from time to time for a lot of different reasons. One of the things he does, as you may remember, is he sits in for Joan Pride sometimes when Joan is out, when we have our weekly interview on the Kiplinger Letter. And he joins us up for other special occasions, too. Like a month ago, approximately, he joined us from the Democrat National Convention in Boston. He was on the ground there, and he filed his report with us from the Democrat Convention. And as you know, this week is the Republican Convention. And so we've asked Rich to do the same thing, to file a report with us, from that venue. And he's our good friend, Rich Salmon. Welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad to be here. Glad to be an advocate for you.
I appreciate it. Well, we appreciate the time that you give us and the work that you're doing there. And you're in New York City. You're in the Big Apple. How are things going in New York City? Before we get to the inside of the convention, Madison Square Garden, tell us a little bit about how things are going in New York City. How are you finding it?
Right. Yeah. In the city itself, it is overwhelmed, and you would think that it is impossible for New York City, Gotham City, to be overwhelmed.
How could that be? I've never heard anybody say that before.
There is security, my friend, like you cannot imagine, walls of security anywhere near Madison Square Garden, which is the hosting place of the convention, and so there's what they call a frozen zone. Which extends for about three blocks, and a critic would say, you know, a frozen zone might be the critics who would go and participate in the convention, but to know it's frozen, it's a security zone, and you cannot get in there with ne'er the well a paperclip.
Yeah. Wow. So don't even take your fingernail clippers in there, huh? They're confiscated.
No. We've learned in this business to do that beforehand. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Well, that's an interesting thing. You know, it's really sad, isn't it? Sad that we live in a world where there are people, and really, if you think about it, only a few thousand people that mean us so much harm and that are so evil that we fear that they would do something so horrendous that we have to take these kinds of measures. It's a sad thing, but it sort of puts the world we live in, what you're experiencing right now, puts the world we live in front and center, doesn't it, as far as the dangers that are out there.
Jim, it also underscores a tremendous pride that we have as citizens, as voters, as delegates, as reporters, as I am, in that we shall not be deterred.
Well, and a certain amount of courage. I mean, I'm proud of you for doing what you're doing. I mean, you could have said, you know what, I worry about the terrorists. This could be dangerous. I mean, how many delegates are up there now? Hundreds and hundreds of delegates. They could have said, you know, and the Democrats had the same, you know, similar situation. They could have said, you know what, I think I'll pass this year, but they did it anyway, didn't they?
They did, but also, just to be fair, in light of all of the security measures that I just, you know, mentioned, I mean, you cannot get within two blocks of the Madison Square Garden Convention Center without every single pass and going through maybe one or two detectors and then having everyone ask you about You know, where are you from? What's going on? What's the right. Have you passed? But even with that said, that you know, there's still a great urgency among the faithful, and I don't mean that in a religious way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean that in a democratic way with a small
mm-hmm.
D, which is very inspiring to for me to see. And that
yeah.
is one of the perspectives and little vignettes that I take away from this
mm-hmm.
experience.
Mm-hmm. Well said, Rich. That was really well said. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, Rich, I want you to tell us about. We're going to move inside Madison Square Garden, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to go inside the bowels of the Republican Convention and find out what's going on in there, how things are going. And if you've been watching the convention on television, you know that as political conventions go, it's been pretty successful so far. 22. We'll be right back with Rich Salmon. He's with the Kiplinger Editors.
Yo no soy marinero. It's a beautiful morning. I think I'll go out for a while and just smile.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. The small business advocate Rich Salmon is our guest, and he's with the Kiplinger Editors, and folks, you know who those guys are. You know the Kiplinger folks. You know about their website, Kiplinger.com, and all the outstanding publications that they have, and I encourage you to check out their website. And we appreciate Rich and his organization making himself available to us to talk to us about what's going on inside the convention hall there at Madison Square Garden in New York City, where the Republicans, Rich, are whooping it up on their own behalf, aren't they?
Yeah, they really are. And when you think of it, New York is not a Democrat, not a Republican town.
What is it? One in ten are Republicans?
It most certainly is this weekend. And the New Yorkers are surprisingly welcoming and friendly. And I don't say that in a bad way, because I remember what the great columnist Russell Baker said about New York. He said it was the only city on the planet where you could get run over by a pedestrian.
Yeah, that's a good one. And one of my other favorite lines is that the definition of a millisecond is the time that it takes between when the light turns green till a New York cab driver starts blowing his horn.
There you go. But the convention itself, what I have noticed in the last 2 days, and we have 2 days to go, is an extremely loyal delegate base, to the point that that when I ask them some questions, fair questions, these aren't loaded questions or anything, just about the deficit, about the lack of WMD found in
mm-hmm.
Iraq, about the lack of focus on Iran, you know, about expanding government expenditures, they almost dismiss those questions out of hand as if they were a question from the liberal media.
Mm-hmm.
And I only mention that because it is significant, because it is reflective of the extreme desire among these delegates to have George W. Bush reelected.
Well, Mr. Bush had some pretty significant folks saying some pretty significant things about him this week so far, hasn't he? With Senator McCain, Mayor Giuliani,
and Arnold. Tonight I think the person who really took it away was Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
And Jim, you and I would never have said this 2 years ago, but this guy electrified the entire arena.
He really did. I tell you, of course we knew he was, you know, some of the things he was capable of, Rich. But I'll tell you what, that was as good a speech as I've ever heard anybody deliver.
It was, and even on substance, even if you just read the speech, didn't see it, or the, you know, artistic way that it was delivered,
right,
it is still an extremely inspiring speech.
Well, and he was very happy to be there. I mean, he was enjoying one of the things.
Oh, that exactly.
One of the things that was impressive to me was how much Mayor Giuliani and Arnold Schwarzenegger seemed to enjoy what they were doing.
Absolutely, well said. Because you could almost sense it in ways that you might not immediately connect through the eyes or through the words, but you could just tell that Arnold Schwarzenegger was just having a hell of a time.
Yeah.
He was having a fun time.
Well, here's the question, though.
Yes.
How much are those speeches, those words, those endorsements, how much do you think that, you know, I have said on this show, Rich, that there are 359 undecided people in America right now.
Right. Oh, that's two more than I've counted.
In all of America. And so how much did those endorsements change the minds or move the minds of those 359 people from being in the middle towards Mr. Bush? How much do you think?
You know, it's a good question, but it's not just the mathematics of it, because what happens if you have a successful convention, and I know that the Republican convention will be successful.
So
and
far
I,
it is.
And I thought that the Democratic convention was fairly successful also. But it's not just who's watching it or whose minds are changed. It's the fact that it changes the media discussion and the national political debate.
Mm-hmm.
And that lasts for weeks and weeks.
Speaking of which, Rich, what about the advantage of being last? In terms of politics, having your convention last has got to be an advantage.
Unless there are events that are unknown that you have no control over,
right?
And then it's all diminished.
But other than notwithstanding those things, if things go without some kind of an event, as you say, there's got to be an advantage there, and that's something that didn't have to be isn't afforded automatically to the incumbent. But when you throw in the power of the incumbency with being last, that's got to be a big bounce opportunity for whichever party that is. In this case,
yes,
it's the Republicans.
But I agree with your logic, but it assumes that all of America is watching, and they're not.
That's a good point. Why aren't they watching, Rich?
Because of the explosion of other entertainment opportunities, and I know you don't like to hear that, but I think that America would be almost better served if there was not 500 channels to choose from. But that's
I don't think that's the idea. But I mean that's the solution. But it is troubling, I guess, if what you're saying is true, and I think you may be right. It is troubling that that you know people aren't interested in the political process, and I don't know the answer to that. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. We got more to come. Rich Salmon's going to be with us. We're going to talk about what's coming up in the convention this week, and that's right after these messages. 10 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us. Back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with Rich Salmon. He is senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Rich, you're at the Republican convention this week, and we've got there are more speakers coming up this week. Mr. Bush is going to speak on Thursday, right?
He most certainly will. He'll close it out, and then there will be the obligatory balloon drop, and it's going to be great.
And hopefully the balloons will actually drop this time.
That's right.
It was almost a bad omen with the Democrats. They couldn't get their balloons to drop. That was the precursor to that was a almost a bad omen for what has turned out to be not a good month for the Democrats.
That was unforgivable. If you can't make a balloon drop,
yeah. I wonder how many people got fired over that. But what do you think about how the election's going so far? How are the campaigns going so far?
All right, but I'll keep this quick because I know you want to move on to some things. This is still going to be a close election. It's still a toss-up, in my opinion. Bush will get a small but a critical bounce.
How much?
This week. He's having a great week. I'm going to give him 5 points.
Five, all right.
All right, now you still got 63 days, right, until the election. And so there's going to be the debates. And now all of the focus is going to go to the debates. and the undecideds in this country, of which you said there are 321,
59,
20 in each state or something like that, they will make up their minds on the debates. They're not going to make up their minds in the next week or two. No, they won't. They will wait. They will wait. And also, what I think will be critical and vital to each candidate is, can they turn out their base? Not so much that they appeal to undecideds, because there's so few, but can they turn out their base to a great degree? And that is where I would give Bush a slight advantage over Kerry, because Kerry is still introducing himself to the country and yeah. to voters who only marginally know him. With Bush, his most loyal core base, they know him and like him well.
The only thing, somebody said something I heard recently that I thought was an interesting point. I'd like your thoughts on it. Somebody said that everybody who voted for Mr. Gore in the last election, none of them will vote for Mr. Bush. But some of the people who voted for Mr. Bush last time won't vote for Mr. Bush this time. I thought that was an interesting point. What do you think?
But some of them, but there's also Bush, what you might call Bush Democrats. That's one of the interesting...
Do you think there is? A lot of people would disagree that there are any of those.
No, there's some. Yeah, for people who say there are none, they're wrong. I'm right.
Ed Koch is one of them, isn't he?
There you go. Okay.
Because he's come out. He's endorsed the president.
Yeah, he has. I mean, Ed Koch is not resemblant or reflective of what I meant to say. That there are Bush, there are Bush Democrats. And that doesn't mean to say that it's the same level that, you know, Reagan Democrats, that's mm-hmm. kind of where that phrase came from.
Right.
But, you know, there are certainly some who say, you know, this is a different world. Let's not change horses midstream. There is a specter of terrorism around this country and anxiety that should speak to keeping the same team.
Did you see a good cross section of America in the convention? Blacks, Hispanics, other minorities, as well as white men, so to speak, in the Republican convention.
Yeah, I was down on the floor of the convention hall for about an hour and a half. I went around to about seven state delegations, had hello to a lot of people, and I did see an interesting spectrum, if you will, mm-hmm. About the races. That it was not a bunch of rich fat cats who the state party chairman gave them a nice ticket to go to the convention. It was actually a little more spread out. So,
Rich, I've got about 45 seconds. What do you think? How much do you think the Hispanic and the black vote possibly breaking a little more towards Bush? How much of a difference could that make? And do you think that could be possible?
And very quickly, Bush got 35% of the Hispanic vote in 2000. Their aim is to get 40%. I think that he'll get 36%.
Okay. All right. What about the black vote?
Black votes, by the way, it's very small. We tend to think of it as being more monumental than it is. It's not. It's about 10 or 11% of the population, and about 3 or 4% of the vote, and Bush will get 3%.
All right.
and that's in keeping with historical figures.
Right. Rich Salmon, thank you for being here today. Good job. Well done. And I hope you continue to have fun at the Republican convention there in New York City.
All the best.
Thanks, Rich. Rich Salmon, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.